That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome, everybody, to Furthermore with Amanda Head. I am the host, Amanda Head, of course, and I am so glad that you are here. And listen, right off the bat, I want to acknowledge that there are a million and one places where you can get information, you can get infotainment, you can get facts and stats and all of the nuances of every news story out there. You can get any podcast you want at the click of a button. And I just wanted to express to you my gratitude that you are here. And you might be here because you have heard me talking about the launch of this podcast on the TV show on Real America's Voice. You might have heard about this podcast from my website and the daily videos that I post on social media. However you came here, I am eternally grateful that you are here. And this podcast is going to be about a lot of things. It's going to be about politics because politics is my bread and butter. It's my passion. I love it. I dove into politics because I grew up in the South. I grew up in Alabama. I went to Auburn. I love football season. I live for football season and now kind of basketball season too. But I was always devastated when the football season ended. And politics is year-round. It's year-round football. And so I love the challenge of it. I love the excitement of it. It can get you down, and I get that, which is why I kind of have a philosophy about things like this. I like to inject a little bit of humor in this stuff. Sometimes stories don't necessarily warrant genuine humor. It's kind of gallows humor because sometimes stories are really devastating. But at the end of the day, when you're having a conversation with someone who you are trying to pull over to our side, I have always felt like humor is the anesthesia that numbs and dulls the pain of realizing that you are wrong. So when you can have a conversation with somebody and you can present to them the facts with a little bit of humor, I always feel like that is the best avenue for bringing someone over to our side. And I decided to call the show Furthermore because, you know, there is always a furthermore to the story. John Solomon is my co-host, as many of you know, on the TV show, Just the News, No Noise. That is our TV show that we co-host together Monday through Friday on Real America's Voice. And John, I can't say enough good things about John. He has that stellar reputation as an old school shoe leather hitting the beat investigative journalist. John Solomon is all about the who, the what, the when, and the where. And that's why our show is called Just the News, No Noise. It's not necessarily about our commentary. It is about the guests who we have on the show and presenting the news and having newsmakers on the show to get their side of things. And oftentimes that's members of Congress, that's former presidents, that is other world leaders. It is, you know, it's leaders in our movement. And it's important to have those voices on the show. But for the most part, that's what our show is about, the who, what, when, and where. And though there's another side of things, and that's where Furthermore comes in, because beyond the who, what, when, and where, there is the why and the how. And I always think that that's important because that's ultimately what drives politics. The why and the how is what determines the direction of our country. It's what determines elections. And elections have consequences. Elections, as we have seen since 2020 with the election, quote unquote, election of Joe Biden, that elections have dire consequences. And our country is struggling to a degree that I don't think any of us ever expected to see. Joe Biden has imposed such devastation on this country in such a short amount of time. And you know, this is going to be a crazy election year. There are going to be lots of surprises. There are going to be probably more than one October surprise, and they might come before October. And of course, we're going to be covering those things on this show. But this show is going to be about a lot of topics. We're, of course, going to cover politics, but I also like to throw in culture and health and lifestyle and sports. And I'm going to have guests that coincide with those types of things. So you don't have to come here just for the politics, because you're going to get a number of different things on this podcast. Because I'm going to be honest, I have a lot of different interests. I do love politics, but as some of you know who follow me on social media, this past year I started knitting, and I guess you can call it an apocalypse skill. That was kind of what started it for me, because I felt like, you know, our country is going in such a devastating direction that I wanted to employ my own individual agency to start doing things under my own roof to improve mine and my husband's life. And while we are stuck here in Los Angeles and we are stuck in this concrete jungle and we don't have a yard, we don't have a garden, so I can't be gardening and I can't have chickens like I really want to have someday. These are things that I can do. So I have a lot of different, I wouldn't say skills. I definitely would not consider knitting a skill of mine yet. It's a hobby and I'm working on it. And things like canning. So there are going to be some podcasts that dive into those types of things. And I hope that you'll enjoy it, because I always think that for those of us as conservatives, I think that we do have, we have our set in stone morals and principles, but there's also a lot of diversity of thought within our community, within our political philosophy. And, you know, it's good to flex those things every once in a while. So that's what the show is going to be about. If you don't know me, I was born in Nashville, but I grew up in a suburb of Birmingham, Alabama called Hoover. I went to a high school called Hoover High School, which a lot of people called Hoover University because it was huge. My high school at the time, I think, was about 4,000 students. So I graduated with just a few under 1,000 students, and then went on to Auburn and spent, I will admit, 5 years and a semester, because I changed my major twice. For numerous reasons. One of the reasons was because I wanted to stretch out my time at Auburn a little bit longer, because I was having such a darn good time and I was learning lots, of course. And also, I started out as a music major, and over the course of those years, my father finally impressed upon me, after years of coercing, that while a music degree might be fun and fulfilling, it's not necessarily useful. A business degree, that's what I ultimately graduated with, was much more flexible. And I wouldn't even say that I'm necessarily using my business degree these days. I guess I kind of am. But it was just a good overall degree. And I enjoyed my time at Auburn. As soon as I left Auburn, as soon as I graduated, I moved out to Los Angeles to pursue music. So I was in the music industry for 10 years. I performed in a number of operas here in Los Angeles, because my background was classical music. So I was trained. I was a coloratura, for those of you who are familiar with opera and the ranges and the roles and things like that. So that's what I did for a while. And then I kind of segued into jazz, and then I moved into pop. And the last few years of my music career, I was in an electropop duo. And my music partner and I toured the country. We had one song that charted on the Billboard Top 40. We had two songs that charted on the Billboard Dance Top 40. And we had a grand time. And we had a lot of success. But this was 2015. And going into 2016, it sounds like a staged line. And it kind of is. But to be completely honest and trite, I felt like my voice as a singer heading into the 2016 election could be better used elsewhere. So I looked at the election of Hillary Clinton versus question mark. It was a question mark at the time, obviously, because Donald Trump had not officially received the nomination. And I looked at that election and I thought to myself, oh, by golly, this just might be it for our country. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, that might be it. So I decided to quit the music industry and to go into politics. And I started off with my website, The Hollywood Conservative, and that turned into an AM radio show. I love talk radio. It's one of my passions. I love the community of talk radio. And then my talk radio show was syndicated over some other stations, and then that turned into a position with a super PAC. It was a pro-Trump super PAC at the time, and they are still in operation. It was Stop Hillary PAC during the 2016 election, and then it turned into because Donald Trump won, Committee to Defend the President. And I served as their national spokesperson, and then I started working for Real America's Voice, and then I became John Solomon's co-host, and that is pretty much the top of the game for me because I love working with John. I learn so much from him every single day, and he and I think because of our dynamic, because of our personalities, we kind of complement each other and we fill in the gaps, and it's a lot of fun. And if you don't tune into our show during the evenings, Monday through Friday, you should absolutely tune in. It's at 6 p.m. Eastern on Real America's Voice, and it's called Just the News, No Noise. And we would love to have you join us. We have incredible guests every night. And many of you know John Solomon with his investigative reporting. He breaks story after story after story, and he's going to be one of my first guests on the podcast. So he's such a great friend in that respect, on top of being a colleague and a mentor and just someone to aspire to emulate. So anyway, I live here in Los Angeles, and what can I say? It's LA. my husband and I have managed to surround ourselves with a nice little layer of insulation, a layer of padding as far as our friend group. We, believe it or not, have a lot of great Christian conservative friends around us. Some of them, you might even know their names because they are folks in Hollywood who are not necessarily out of the closet as conservatives, but like many Americans, they are seeing what is happening to our country. They are seeing the mush of a person in the Oval Office, and they are thinking to themselves, first of all, economically, I literally can't afford a second term of Joe Biden. Safety wise, I feel like, safety, especially in blue cities, is absolutely tanking. Foreign policy, everything. The border obviously is a huge crisis, and things are just crumbling. And I always say, I talk about this on the show very often, there are three things that I believe voters think about when they head to the voting booth. Don't mess with their safety, don't mess with their kids, and don't mess with their wallets. And when it comes to safety, people's kids, and people's wallets, boy, is this administration doing a terrible, terrible job. And if people vote on those three things, I fully believe that Donald Trump is going to be the not only the 45th, but also the 47th president. God willing, because I truly don't think that this country can afford a second term of Joe Biden, because you talk about, a lot of people talk about two terms of a president. The first couple years of the honeymoon period, the next couple years you spend campaigning for your second term. And then the second term is when you actually try to get things done. And when you consider how much Donald Trump was able to get done in his first term, and you think about expanding that into what he would do in his second term, it's awesome. But you think about what Joe Biden has done in his first term and what he would expand into his second term. Boy, oh boy, we are in trouble. And on that happy note, we're going to take a very quick break, and I'll be back on the other side.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. So before we headed to the break, I was talking about these three elements that I truly believe that all voters, no matter how wacky the leftist is about these social justice causes and all of the garbage that they try to push on the American people, I actually truly believe that it is the nature of human beings to vote on three things: protect my wallet, protect my kids, and protect my safety. And I want to focus on the kids element right now, because my husband and I, we don't have kids yet, but we are all seeing what is happening with kids and the gender nonsense. And, you know, I grew up with two older brothers. I grew up hunting with my dad from a very, very early age when I was knee high to a grasshopper. I got my first rifle. It was a 7mm aught-8 youth rifle or youth edition. And I loved hunting with my dad. That was my thing. I had very special hobbies and things that I did with my mom. That was the thing I did with my dad. In fact, I think that I loved hunting and still do more than my brothers did. And my brothers, one of them is 5 years older and the other one's about a little over 6 years older. So the two of them were not only very close in age, they were the same gender. So the two of them got along really well. And I was kind of the annoying little sister, 5 and 6 years younger, who was really a brat to them. I will contend that I was not a brat at all. I think that they were jerks at the time, but we get along wonderfully now. So I can say that and I can laugh about it and they can too. But at the time, that was not the case. So even though I felt mistreated by them, I felt excluded by them because they were boys and because they were great friends together. I idolized them secretly. And so all of the boy things that they did, I wanted to do too. All of the things that they liked, I liked too. And I think you could probably classify me as a little bit of a tomboy. I didn't dress like a boy when I went to school or anything like that. What were the shorts at the time? Duckhead. I had a whole wardrobe of Duckhead colored shorts that I wore with t-shirts that my parents would get me when they were traveling. And I remember I had this Hawaii t-shirt that had a lot of turquoise on it, and I had some matching turquoise Duckhead shorts, and I just loved that outfit so much. But I was very much a tomboy, and I still kind of am in a lot of ways. If I was growing up now, if I was 7 years old or 8 years old or 10 or 15 years old, and I didn't have the parents who I have, thankfully, there's no doubt that my teachers, my counselor, my principal, someone would probably have told my parents that they should look into some type of gender therapy. That's a lot of girls. That is just a lot of little girls. A lot of little girls like boy things, and it's perfectly okay. It doesn't mean that we should be giving them puberty blockers or sending them to therapy for it. It's okay. Perfectly okay. And it is devastating to me to see what leftists are pushing on America's kids. And if you are a parent out there, God bless you. Stand strong and you fight for your kids. I know you're already doing that, but fight for your kids. And I look at what's happening in the NCAA and what's happening in college and all of these girls that are being subjected, all of these women who are being subjected to men in their locker rooms, men in their sports. And I'm not going to go through the litany, the entire list of all of these dudes who are throwing on women's sports uniforms and trying to act like they belong with the ladies. They do not biologically. They do not socially. They do not culturally. They do not physiologically. It just doesn't work. And if you are a parent of a high school or a college woman or girl who is in sports, who's an athlete, you gotta raise your voice for them, because for them, it's going to be hard to do. They're going to be on the receiving end of stigma and criticism and a lot of, you know, all of those dynamics that happen socially. You have to fight for them. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, because I know so many of you are probably doing this already. But we have to start fighting harder. I often say that Democrats fight with brass knuckles and Republicans play thumb wars for power. We have to stop playing thumb wars. It's time to put on the brass knuckles and start curb stomping these people who are trying to destroy our children. And I know that that sounds, and I don't mean literally hit people with brass knuckles. I don't literally mean curb stomping people. Listen, I live in Los Angeles. That curb stomping is a thing. If you don't know what it is, Google it. It's pretty horrific. But the point that I'm trying to convey is that Democrats, they fight. I don't agree with hardly anything that is a part of the Democrat platform anymore. But boy, do they fight. When Nancy Pelosi was speaker, dang it, she got a lot done. And it wasn't just one big thing every 6 months. It was day after day after day, and Republicans couldn't keep up. I think Republicans wanted to fight. I do. But they couldn't keep up because she was literally passing new legislation and shoving more things down the throats of the American people every single day on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. And it's happening across America. It's not just at the federal level on Capitol Hill. Happening here in California, in Sacramento. Our heads, we as conservatives, our head is spinning because we can't hardly keep up with all of the garbage that they are doing in this state. They are destroying this state. You know, people still come to California for tourism, but nobody comes to the cities anymore. There is so much natural beauty in this state. It is one of the few places on the entire earth where you can go surfing in the morning, hiking in the afternoon, and hit the snowboard trail at 7 p.m. that night in Big Bear or Lake Arrowhead or somewhere like that. Democrats have done all they can to destroy so much of what California used to be. Thank God they haven't destroyed the natural beauty from our capital C creator. Thank God they haven't been able to do that. But I guarantee you they're trying with all this climate change garbage. I guarantee you they're trying. And I also think that it's important for me to express to all of you why I am still here in California, because every once in a while I'll get a comment on social media about, you know, oh, I can't believe Amanda stays in California. She must be a closet liberal. Let me tell you, there is nothing about me that is liberal. When I moved to Los Angeles, my parents didn't voice it at the time, but I can only imagine that they were terrified of what I could be influenced by in California, especially in Los Angeles, and that I might become a liberal. I became even more conservative. Los Angeles has been my crucible. Los Angeles has purified and solidified my political and philosophical and theological beliefs. And there are a number of things that I'm grateful to Los Angeles for. That's one of them. The most important thing that I'm grateful to Los Angeles for is that I found my husband here. Outside of those things, well, you know, there's not that much. Some people love the weather here. I love seasons, so the weather isn't really even a selling point for me. The traffic stinks. A lot of the people stink. But I stay here because if we don't stay and fight, if conservatives don't stay and fight, if Christians don't stay and fight, then we lose California forevermore. And I don't think that we have lost California for forevermore. I will tell you, here in Los Angeles, my husband and I, we consider this city our ministry. Make no mistake about it. Aside from politics, because politics is important, but the king has not moved one millimeter off the throne. And when you consider the importance of the efforts of restoring his kingdom and furthering his kingdom, Los Angeles is literally a ministry for us. And we have seen a number of indications of revival here in Los Angeles. And a lot of people know about Azusa and a lot of the Jesus Revolution and a lot of these revivals in Christian culture and evangelical culture and charismatic Christianity that started in California. That's incredible. And we have all forgotten about that. So I stay in Los Angeles. I stay in California because I want to fight. And I also stay here because I am not suited for an easy life. I love a challenge. I am not excited by not fighting. I don't want to say I love fighting. I love fighting for our country. I love fighting for the values that our country was founded on. And if I went back to Alabama where I grew up, or back to Tennessee where I was born, or any of these other red states, that would be really nice and easy for a while. And then I would feel like fighting again. And I don't want to go somewhere easy. I want to go somewhere where I can use my resources to better our country and to further the cause. And that is that ultimately is why it's why I stay here. And we are on the precipice of another very, very important election, just like in 2016 when I left the music industry to go into politics, because I felt like that was the inflection point. I felt like that was the point at which our country was going to choose a fork in the road towards devastation and destruction, or towards a hope for the future. And so I decided to go down that path of fighting for our country's future and a hope for a future. And we are there again, like I said, with Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden, I often talk about Joe Biden. I don't know if many of you know what lorem ipsum is. When you're building a website and it has not gone live yet, if you want to see the structure of the website, you want to see what it's going to look like aesthetically with the text on the page, you use a language called lorem ipsum. And it's just a bunch of nonsense words, but it's structured with, you know, multiple different numbers of letters in words and spaces between and capital and lowercase and periods and commas and all those things. So it actually looks like, if you just glance at it, you're going to think that it is legitimate content, but it's not. Joe Biden is the personification of lorem ipsum. If you just look at a snapshot of him, you think, yeah, whatever, he's fine. But he's a fraud. He is a mush brain. There is nothing about this presidency that is like legitimate words on a page. That's just what he is. And Donald Trump, you know, there might be listeners out there who are listening to this podcast who don't necessarily like the guy. You don't like his personality. You're concerned about these prosecutions. Let me tell you, these prosecutions, as far as I'm concerned, the opinion of these prosecutions to the American people at this point, they have inoculated Donald Trump to scandal. You know, it started with Russiagate and then Charlottesville, and time after time after time, they claim these scandals, most recently bloodbath. They have inoculated him against scandal. And I honestly believe that even if Donald Trump is convicted in any of these, it's not going to sway the American people. In 2016, people knew what they were getting with Donald Trump. No one had any disillusions about who Donald Trump was. Everybody knew about his marriages. Everybody knew about his quote unquote playboy days. Everybody knew about his handful of bankruptcies among, what, 506 companies. Everybody knew about that, and they voted for him anyway over a woman who they knew had been a part of multiple corrupt administrations, held multiple positions in government that never favored the American people, only favored her and her husband and their bank accounts and the Democrat Party. And the American people had finally had enough. And I hope that this little flirtation, this little temporary flirtation that Americans had with Joe Biden, has instilled in the American people the notion that we can't do that. We can't play with that kind of fire ever again. And I think that Donald Trump has to win for all of this garbage to start falling away. It's not going to happen overnight. It is going to take years. It is going to take more than 4 years, which I think is why Donald Trump has taken so much time and weight in his decision of who his VP is going to be, because that VP is going to have to succeed him. And it will have to be someone who is a virtual carbon copy of Donald Trump's policies. There will never be another Donald Trump, but someone who is going to continue his legacy. And that is ultimately another thing that this podcast is going to be about. It's going to be about the fight for this country leading into the November election. And it's going to be fun and it's going to be exciting. And sometimes you might want to laugh and sometimes you might want to cry, but we're going to get through it together. And I'm so excited that you are on this path with me and on this journey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Furthermore with Amanda Head. I hope you all have a blessed day. I'll see you again soon.